Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, a special report on the decision by officials in Britain to permit doctors to use genetic material from three people to create one human embryo. It is the first country to do so. The process is called mitochondrial replacement therapy, but some call it making three-person babies. The treatment is meant to help women avoid passing certain diseases and disorders to their children. Members of Britain's upper house of parliament approved the measure earlier this month, shortly after the lower house passed it. Public reaction and debate was immediate. The therapy could potentially end several severe, sometimes deadly, health problems. But the process behind that goal frightens many people and offends some others. Katie Weaver wrote and now presents our report.
Here is the science of mitochondrial replacement therapy, or MRT. A human is made from the genetic information provided by our mother and father. Almost all our DNA is in the nucleus of our cells. That DNA is called nuclear DNA and makes up about 99.99% of our genes. But about 0.1% of our DNA comes from only our mothers and is found in organelles called mitochondria. That DNA is called mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA does not create the color of your hair or the texture of your skin. It does not make you walk like your mom or talk like your dad. The genes that create the personal characteristics that make each of us individual are in the nuclear DNA. Instead, mitochondria have one major job. They use oxygen to help the body turn food into energy. The mitochondria are like the cell's power factory. A small percentage of women have mitochondrial mutations that can be passed on to children. These mutations cause severe diseases in an even smaller number of those children. Worldwide, about 1 in 6,500 children suffers from mitochondrial disease. Mitochondrial disease can affect all the body's systems. It can cause blindness, hearing loss, muscle failure, developmental delays, heart defects, liver and kidney failure, and breathing problems. The United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation says mitochondrial disease often affects three or more of a sufferer's organs. Mutated mitochondria do not always make children sick. But healthy girls with such mutations still could face the problem of passing the mutations and possible disease to their own children. There are two ways to replace bad mitochondrial DNA with healthy mitochondrial DNA. The first uses unfertilized eggs from two women, the mother and the donor. The nucleuses of both eggs are removed. The mother's egg nucleus is then placed in the donor's egg, which has healthy mitochondrial DNA. Then, doctors use the father's sperm to fertilize the egg. The resulting embryo is put into the mother's womb. The embryo contains nuclear DNA from the father and mother and mitochondrial DNA from the donor. The other replacement process uses a donor egg and a fertilized egg or embryo from the mother. The nucleus is removed from the donor egg and replaced with the fertilized nucleus from the mother. Again, the embryo has nuclear DNA from its parents and mitochondrial DNA from a third person. Mitochondrial replacement therapy, MRT, is widely controversial. Religious leaders, bioethics experts, doctors, scientists, activists, politicians, and others have entered the debate. Many are concerned that MRT crosses what is called the germline. The germline is all the genetic information that parents pass to their children. Children born of MRT would have genetic information that is outside their germline. But MRT does not necessarily result in just one genetically modified individual. If the individual is female, the genetic changes would also be passed to children born to her. That genetic alteration is permanent. Scientists have experimented with crossing the germline on insects and animals, but the research is new. Scientists have known of the existence of mitochondrial DNA for only about 50 years. There is no way to know the long-term impact of introducing unrelated mitochondrial DNA to human embryos until it is actually done. And even then, several following generations would have to be studied. So, the unknowns scare many people. Their fear should not be a surprise, considering the public's concern over genetically modified food. People with human health concerns are joined by others offering wide ethical and religious arguments. Critics of MRT say it is the first step onto a dangerous path of human gene engineering. They warn of designer babies in the future. For example, they fear people will use genetic technology to create babies with certain traits, such as blue eyes, high intelligence, or athletic ability. But MRT supporters dismiss this argument. Robert Klitzman is a bioethicist and professor of psychiatry at Columbia University in New York City. He recently wrote an opinion piece supporting mitochondrial replacement therapy for the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Klitzman says MRT cannot be fairly compared to baby design.
I would argue that it's not. That this is equivalent to changing the batteries in some fancy machine. The machine's the same, sort of like getting a blood transfusion or an organ transplant. It doesn't change the identity of the person.
Anglican church officials in Britain spoke out against the measure to approve mitochondrial replacement therapy. The church supports some embryonic study for the purpose of easing human suffering. But Anglican leaders say too little is known about the part mitochondria plays in heredity. They argue that more research must be done to guarantee the therapy is safe, ethical, and effective. I'm Katie Weaver.
That's our program for today. I'm Christopher Cruz at the VOA Learning English Headquarters in Washington. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Environment and Science Report. Before fighting broke out in Syria, the country experienced its driest weather on record. Rainfall and snow totals were at their lowest level in Syrian history. Now, a new study explores how rising temperatures helped influence a series of events that likely led to the country's civil war. The findings were published in the Proceedings of the National Academies of Science. Another report in the same publication tells how the crippling drought in the American state of California also appears linked to climate change. From 2007 to 2010, Syria suffered the worst drought in its recorded history. Colin Kelly is a climate scientist. He was the lead writer of the Syrian study. He says crops failed and farm animals died across the country. He says the changing conditions forced an estimated 1.5 million people from their homes. Colin Kelly says many of these people fled to cities. In their report, Colin Kelly and his team suggest the drought that led to the unrest was made more likely because of climate change. They found that the weather Syria has experienced since about 1950 fits well with what models predict from increased greenhouse gases. Studies have linked rising levels of this pollution to climate change.
When you include the long-term trend that you were 2 to 3 times more likely to have multi-year droughts that were as severe as the most recent one.
But he adds, it was not just the lack of rain that did it.
We're not saying that global warming or climate change triggered or caused the uprising in Syria. What we are saying is that it basically exacerbated the drought that occurred, made it more severe, the most severe in the observed record, and that this set about a chain of events that ultimately led to the uprising.
Another report suggests climate change has made more likely the extremely dry weather in the western United States. 1 in 8 Americans lives in California. The state produces 12% of the nation's gross domestic product, the value of all goods and services produced within the country. Noah Diffenbaugh is a Stanford University climate scientist. He says California has wet years and dry years.
We do know from looking at the historical record that low precipitation years have been much more likely, greater than 2 times as likely, to produce severe drought if they co-occur with warm conditions. And what we've found in California is that there's been a very clear long-term warming.
In new research, he and other researchers say that has made a drought like the current one more probable.
That increase in probability doesn't occur without the human contribution of greenhouse gases to the atmosphere.
And in both California and Syria, the studies say the future looks to be warmer and drier still. And that's the VOA Learning English Environment and Science Report. For more environment, science, and agriculture reports, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Jonathan Evans.